Welcome to Torah Rimecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we are studying Yecheskel, Perek Chav Zayin, Chapter 27. This is the second of three prakim that discusses Tzur, and the third of eight that talks about other nations. In the last perek, we learned about the history of Tzur, its greed, and its upcoming destruction. In this perek, we read the lament for Tzur that paints a picture of its wealth, prominence, and relationship with the surrounding nations. It is interesting that Yecheskel is told to say a kina for a non-Jewish nation, just like he did over the downfall of the kings of Yehuda in Perek Yotzes, chapter 19. The Medrash in Bamidbar Rabbah points out that this is a unique feature of Jewish prophets. They care about all people, not just the Jews to whom they most identify. For this reason, they warn the non-Jewish nations to repent and offer laments upon their tragedies. Tzur, in particular, prompts Yecheskel to mourn. This nation had partnered with David and Shlomo to build the Beis HaMikdash. Instead of using this as a stepping stone to greatness, their partnership led to wealth, which led to greed. Their downfall prompts a sadness for what a non-Jewish nation could have achieved had they continued to serve God with their wealth. In this perek, Tzur, which was an international trade center, is called Peddler. The perek begins with a metaphor describing elements of Tzur's economy as components of a spectacular luxury ship built from the finest materials in the world. We first hear of the splendidness of the ship's construction, and then a description of her international crew and warriors that are on board. The second part of the perek has 14 psukim, which describe the diverse and expensive international goods that flow through the city. The third section describes how this spectacular ship was weighted down with all manners of luxuries and was sunk in the middle of the sea, and the kina that was said by those on shore who survived. Pasuk Gimel describes Tzur and explains the cause for its destruction. Tzur was Yosheves Amvoz Yam. It sat at the entry of the sea. Unlike other coastal cities, it had a natural harbor which allowed ships a safe place to dock and unload. It was Rocheles Ha'amim, a merchant of the nations. Rashi tells us that nations from all directions would bring their wholesale products there, but they were barred from selling to each other directly. Tzur was the Amazon.com of their day. They had few natural resources, but what they did have was the ability to buy and sell from many wholesalers from different countries and trade as a central location. This would have been fine, except that, as Yecheskel quotes, Tzur, at amart ani klilas yofi. Tzur, you said, I am of perfect beauty. The Medrash explains that until now, Yerushalayim had been called by the nations by that title. Now that it was destroyed, Tzur usurped this name for itself. Pasuk Dalet, verse 4, begins to describe the beauty of this island in terms of a well-built merchant ship. Each part of the ship was made with luxury goods from all over the world. The planks are from cypress trees in Sinir. Its mast is made of tall Lebanon cedars. The oaks were made from oaks from the Bashan. The rudder was made of ebony, inlaid with ivory from the Kitim. The sails were made from the finest linen embroidered so that when they were unfurled, it would take your breath away. And there was a canopy covering the whole ship, dyed to the royal colors of blue and purple. The Malbim comments that we are meant to notice that the ship was only possible because of the contributions of the wealth of the other countries, yet Tzur took all the credit for themselves. In Pasuk Ches, verse 8, we learn that the labor running the ship was also international. Sidon and Arvad supplied the rowers, the wise men of Tzur were the pilots, and the people of Gval, who Das Mikra identifies as individuals from the cities of Byblos, which is in Lebanon, were the carpenters doing the necessary repairs. Rashi tells us that these men from Gval were very talented, as they also did the carpentry and the Beis HaMikdash. Psukim Yod through Chaf Dalet, 10-24, interrupt this mashal about a ship with a description of the different nations that traded with Tzur. Each pasuk lists the natural resources of a region and how Tzur benefited and sometimes exploited that area. This list is a tour of the ancient Near East and the Mediterranean. Persia, which was to the east, and Lud and Put, which were African countries, were the source for the mercenary army protecting the city. Their armor and weapons made the city beautiful as they were put on display when not in use. Their choice of soldiers shows Tzur's wealth as they were able to hire the strongest and most well-trained army from the region. Arvad and Chelech, which either means your army or may mean another country south of Turkey, manned the city walls. They also hired Gamadim, dwarves, to protect their towers because the dwarves would not be seen by scouts looking at the city. All the armies hung shields on the walls to beautify the city. Tarshish is either Tartessus on the southwest coast of the Iberian Peninsula or Tarsus in Asia Minor, which had raw materials of silver, iron, tin, and lead. The Mitzvahs David says that Tarshish exported the raw materials to Tzor, who then manufactured them into merchandise, which was profitable for both of them. Yavan, Tuval, and Meshech, which were part of ancient Greece, were peddlers. They took the wares from Tarshish and then sold the metals to willing customers. In those days, peddlers would need to leave collateral for the merchandise they were selling. They left human slaves and brass vessels. This, Rav Breuer points out, shows how amoral Tzor was when it came to profit. They didn't mind trading people if it helped them to make money. Pasuk Gedalet, verse 14, Beis Togarma, which the Das Mikra names as a land to the east of Tuval on Asia Minor, which is today Armenia, supplied horses, horsemen, and mules. This population will appear again in the War of Gog in Perek Lamed Ches, chapter 38. B'nai Dedan, according to the Das Mikra, lived in northern Arabia and took the horses and sold them to the small islands in the Mediterranean and left ivory and ebony in Tzor as collateral. In Pasuk Chaf, verse 20, it also tells us that B'nai Dedan traded in expensive cloth only worn by nobility or used to make saddles. In Pasuk Tezayin, verse 16, we learn about Aram, which is found in Mesopotamia and Syria, who traded semi-precious stones, dyed purple fabric, intricately woven cloth, and fine linen. The list continues with Yehuda and Yisrael, who traded valuable wheat, honey, and balsam oil, while Damesek, which is a term for Aram Damesek, brought wine and wool. In Pasuk Yates, verse 19, we hear about Vidun and Yavan, but it is unclear where these nations were from. They brought yarn, iron bars, and spices. Arav and Nesiei Kedar were descendants of Ishmael, who were nomadic people that traded livestock on the Arabian Peninsula. Shva and Rama, who the Das Mikra identifies as being on the southwest section of Arabia, were an independently wealthy nation, yet they too found it profitable to function as peddlers for Tzor, and brought spices, precious stones, and gold as collateral. Haran, which was in the northwest of Mesopotamia, and Chanei, whose location is unknown, Eden, an Aramean nation on the Euphrates River, Shva, Asher, and Media brought luxury goods to the city. The things they sold included that which would be kept in finely decorated treasure boxes for display or safekeeping. This seemingly endless detailed list of countries and goods is meant to leave an impression on us. After hearing all these details, we are meant to have an image of a bustling, cosmopolitan trade city with stalls filled with exotic merchandise and the streets filled with people bargaining in different languages and in different dress. The port is ready with the ships of Tarshish, who will load the goods and act as a caravan as they bring all this merchandise to distant ports, as it describes in Pasuk Chaf, verse 25, which makes Tzor wealthier with each transaction. After this long interruption of cities and merchandise, in Pasuk Chavav, verse 26, Yechezkel returns to the Mashal of Tzor as a ship, as tragedy is about to strike. B'mayim rabim hevi'uch hashatim osach. Your rowers have brought you into great waters. The ship is now afloat in deep and tumultuous waters, which are particularly dangerous for a loaded vessel. Ruach hakadim shivarech b'lev yamim. The east wind broke you in the heart of the seas. The east wind is a mashal for Nebuchadnezzar, who is coming from the east and will lay a 13-year siege on Tzor. Rashi tells us that it is the wealth carried on the ship that ultimately causes its demise. Because it is so laden with all its luxuries and material wealth, it cannot be righted and will sink. In Pasuk Chav Zayin, verse 27, the Pasuk then lists how everything, your riches and your wares, your merchandise, your mariners and your pilots, your caulkers and the exchangers of your merchandise, and all your men of war that are in you, with all your company, yiplu belev yamim biyom apalatech, will fall in the heart of the sea on the day of your ruin. It all sinks and is destroyed. When the ships sink, the surrounding small hamlets that dot the coastline, which are called Migrashos, shake from the noise of the sailors' cries. Upon hearing of the tragic sinking, the other merchants and the sailors stop work. They leave the ships to say a dirge. They, too, are impacted by the loss. Rashi tells us that once Tzor is gone, they have no more commerce and nowhere else to go with their merchandise. In Pasuk Lamed, verse 30, they all appear to mourn. V'yazaku mara v'yalu afar al roshehem. They will cry bitterly and will cast up dust upon their heads. They roll in ashes, tear out their hair, wear sackcloth, and cry bitterly. Pasuk Lamed Beis, verse 32, they sing a kina, a lament. Mi'chit Tzor keduma v'soch hayam. Who was there like Tzor fortified in the midst of the sea? The people recognize how they benefited from Tzor's unique arrangements. With the multitude of your riches and your merchandise did you make the kings of the earth wealthy. Now Tsor is broken, and all their wealth has been lost with them. As the Kina progresses, we see a change in attitude by those saying the Kina. Pasuk Lamed Vav, verse 36, Socharim ba'amim sharku alayach. The merchants among the people hiss at you. The merchants, who used to work for Tsor, are now independent, and they are no longer mourning for her downfall. They realize that they have benefited from the loss of Tsor. Balos hayis ve'enech ad olam. You have become a terror. They don't want anything to do with you, and you shall never be anymore. These merchants do not plan to allow Tsor to reestablish herself. What a fitting punishment for a nation that abandoned and derided Yerushalayim at its downfall, that its trading partners and allies now celebrate its downfall as well. To summarize, in this parak, the story of Tsor's downfall was told with the mashal of a luxurious ship made from the finest materials from across the known world. It sank because of its burdens, and its wealth proved to be its downfall. Reading this parak, we also got a fascinating tour of the ancient Near East and its extravagances. We were also reminded in this parak that these indulgences came on the backs of the slaves and conscripted men who shuttled the products from one place to another. While Tsor could have elevated the world by using its wealth for the positive, it viewed it as a source of power and became haughty instead. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmas Malka Esther Basvi Yosef.